Am I am Lord? Thank you. I hope that was a blessing to you to see what the Lord has done through His Word, through His Spirit. The curriculum for the Christian Discipleship Center, and over the years it's even grown and improved. When an amazing truth came to my understanding. You know, when we're trying to help people rebuild their lives, and we think about using the Word of God to help people rebuild their lives, it came to me that the Apostle Paul, that to new he went out into all the world, right? And he reached the Gentiles. Well, think about those. Very sinful. And then they believed the gospel. What did they need after that? They needed someone to show them how to build their life for the Lord. And so I began to see the new. People and how Paul helped them. And so we've kind of figured out the curriculum for CDC in the same way. And I'd just like to take you briefly through two passages of Scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. People coming out of very sinful lifestyles and coming to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Now, Corinth was a seaport for the country of Greece. And as you can imagine, a seaport city where all the sailors come in off the ships after many months away, it was not a little town, was it? And it was a very wicked, wicked city. And this is reflected as Paul talks about but you were washed, but you were sanctified. Scripture, what do these people need to hear from God? Way of life, and they trusted Jesus as Savior. Well, notice they needed to know that accomplished in their life. People through the work of Christ. And I point out to our men when I teach this in our course, notice the third. And such were some of you. And so what did the Lord do for them? Paul says He's cleaned you up. He's cleaned you up. You've been washed through the precious blood of Christ. People who are full of guilt, the burden of years in years, and then Paul says, not only that, he says, you were sanctified. And you were justified. To have a new standing before God because of what the Lord has done for us through justification. And then sanctification, that very hard word. Try to explain that to a Navajo. But it, you know, I simply say it means we've been set apart. The Lord now, God. Is for his purpose. So that's how Paul, people got saved. Them apart for a different kind of life. And I always tie this passage in with 2 Corinthians 5:17, because not I'm sure all of you know. For if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Yes. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And we stress very importantly identity truth. You know, who are they? You know, if a man still thinks of himself, oh, I'm just a drunk. But if he tells himself, you know, we stress very importantly your identity in Christ. And you will live out what you truly believe in your heart and in your head about yourself. And once you know who you are in Christ, it brings a whole in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul doesn't go into the specifics of the kind of sin that these Gentiles had. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So Paul doesn't go into the specifics, but he said before you were saved, you couldn't get rid of your sin. Greedy for it. And you, lewdness is a word that means unrestrained, sensual pleasure. There were no boundaries for what they did. And Ephesus was a big city like Corinth, and you could do anything. He challenges them. He says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You see where Paul's going? Paul's saying, if you Savior, if you are truly saved now, God's got it. Now, Paul gives them what I call God's outline for change. God's outline for rebuilding your life. And this is what we share with the men. Notice what discipleship means for someone who's coming to the Lord for the first time later in life after having been away from God for a long time. Notice what Paul says, verse 22 and 23 and 24. He says, now, if you really know the Lord, put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Anybody see an outline there? I guess there was there some remodeling and rebuilding and getting this ready for a church? Yeah, we've done a lot of remodeling. I was telling Brother Bob, we have remodeled the interior of every building on the campus of the Christian Discipleship Center over these years. So we know all about rebuilding and remodeling. So what do you do when you rebuild? Well, one of the first things is something's got to be torn out, right? Something's got to go. And then you have to have an idea. Now, what is this going to look like when I rebuild, when I remodel, right? And then comes the work of doing the remodel. Well, life is the exact same way. And so in a very practical way, Paul is showing the Ephesians, and we try to show the men and the women in our program, life now, is rebuilding your life is as you begin to grow in the Lord, as you learn God's word, as the Holy Spirit convicts you of things in your life that are wrong, it's your responsibility to put that off. The way I like to describe it, and you guys can, he was talking about Avon before, so you ladies already had your time. But now the guys, all right? I'm going to use this illustration. You know, you guys, any of you had this old shirt that you just love and that you wear and you wear and you wear and you wear that old shirt? And what happens eventually to that nice old shirt that's so comfortable? It becomes holy, yeah. The other kind of holy, yeah. The collar gets frayed, or in mine, I have a lot of flannel shirts, and the elbow goes through. You know, that's really embarrassing. You know, or it gets stained, but you don't want to get rid of it. But one day you look at it and you say, "This is a rag. What am I wearing this for?" Right? And you have to put it off, and you have to put on a new shirt. And that's kind of like growing as a Christian. God begins to show you things that were comfortable for you. You used to talk that way. You used to think that way. You used to act that way. And now all of a sudden, through God's word, as you grow, you say, "Oh, wait a minute. I shouldn't be doing that anymore. Shouldn't talk like that anymore. Shouldn't act like that anymore." Some people, they think the way to grow in the Lord is just pray and ask God to do it all, you know? "Oh, God, take this away from me. Oh, God, help me. Take this away." But you'll notice Paul gives the responsibility to the believers. He says, "You put that off. You take the responsibility and you change." Well, we don't have to guess what God wants, because he says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And so God's word is going to show us the Christ way to live. He's going to show us how God wants us to live. And then now we have a picture of what God wants us to do. And then Paul says, start putting it on. You know, little by little, practice by practice, day by day, changing in our life to be more like Jesus. One of my lessons that I teach, and Bo mentioned it as he was closing there, is the three goals of the Christian life: to know him better, to be more like Jesus every day. And that Bo has been such a fruitful disciple and a Christian doing those very things. And so God then wants us to grow and go on with him. Now, it's interesting, the outline is there. And we don't have time this morning, but if you would go to the book of James, chapter 1, 21 and 22. Go to 1 Peter, chapter 2, 1 and 2. Go to Romans, chapter 12, 1 and 2. You will see the exact same outline. Sometimes the words are different. James and Peter say, you know what? There's things that you have to lay aside in your life. And then you have to go to God's word and get it in your heart. And then you have to of the word. You have to start praying. But we teach the how. We show them how to do this. I mean, these guys and these ladies are coming out of a very broken life. And yet, we have seen the most marvelous transformation. To start putting all these things into practice, and we put flesh on the outline, you know, on the skeleton. We fill in the blanks. Let me fill in one blank for you, okay? Verses 22 to 24 is the outline, but if you've never noticed, verses 25 through 32 are the examples or illustrations of putting off the old, being renewed, and putting on the new. So, but I'd like to use just one verse here. Verse 28. Notice the example Paul gives. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Boy, do you think in the big city of Ephesus there were some people who made a living by being thieves? Oh, yeah, it was pretty easy, right? To hide out in the city and then rob from people. Why work when you could just rob and steal from them? And they did the work, and you had an easy living. But some of these people got saved, didn't they? When Paul and Jesus came through with the message of Jesus, they believed on the Lord. So now Paul has to teach them how to have a new life. Well, you know, you could take one of the Ten Commandments, and you could get in a quiet room, and you could pray, I shall not steal, I shall not steal, I shall not steal, I shall not steal. But you know what? You have one problem. You're still focused on what? You're still focused on stealing. Paul says, if you stole, God's got a new way to live now. And what does he say? He says, let him work with his hands what is good. So I always tell the guys, hey, take those fingers that you got five-finger discounts, you know. You used to get those. All guys who drink, they know what a five-finger discount is, because they've gone through parking lots and picked stuff out of people's pickup trucks and taken them to the pawn shop, right? Because when you're desperate for money, you're gonna resort to stealing, and people who do drugs steal also all the time. So Paul says, now you have to do honest labor with your hands. Find a job and work. But then more than that, now here's where the real transformation takes place. And I often ask the question, I say, when is a thief not a thief? When he's in jail, right? Everybody agree with that? No, he's just a restrained thief, right, when he's in jail. We heard from Ben yesterday, we have a lot of innocent people in jail, right? They didn't do anything. It was everybody else that got them there. as you see, putting people in jail doesn't solve anything. But Paul shows the true transformed life here. When is a thief no longer a thief? Paul says when he ceases to be a taker and he learns to be a... think about others in need and start giving to others. So, you know, I like to compare this to... And I hope I don't step on anybody's toes today, but in the Bible, with using the Bible, we don't accept the disease model of addiction. You're not a victim, and you don't have a disease when you're addicted. It's a life-dominating sin. It's a pattern of life that Jesus can break in your life. But one of the big limitations of AA, even though they have helped so many people, is they keep people focused on the alcohol. See? If you go to AA for 30 years, you will sit there and you'll say, hi, I'm Joe and I'm an alcoholic. Do you think that's the identity that God wants us to keep for the rest of our life? No. And so I like to use this example of the thief, right? Can you imagine a man who did what Paul said, standing up in church 10 years later and say, hi, I'm Joe and I'm a thief? No, he wouldn't say that, would he? What would he say? Hi, I'm Joe, and you know, I used to be the worst thief in the world, but this is what God did for me, right? Because he no longer thinks like a thief. He no longer acts like a thief. He no longer talks like a thief. He's a transformed person. And he'll probably tell you in his testimony how he's helping an orphanage or helping somebody else, and how God's transformed his life. See that? And that's what we see with the men who go through CDC. They no longer think like an alcoholic. They no longer talk like an alcoholic. They no longer act like an alcoholic. See? they have been transformed through the grace of God, and they go out and they serve the Lord and they make a difference in their home, in their church, in their community, and as you saw, around the world. Ben is now serving the Lord in Nepal with his wife. So we praise God for the power of his word and his spirit. And it's just been a very humbling and worthwhile ministry to work with these native people who come in so broken, to share God's love, to share God's word. See them change right before our eyes. Give them discipline. The new life that Jesus has for them to put in place of the old life. Go out and live it, and they see great victory. So we appreciate your prayers. We do have a literature display table. If you'd like to receive our newsletter, we'd be glad to send it to you, either paper copy if you like mail, or if you want email attachment, a digital newsletter, your email address. We really do need prayer. The ministry is hard. It's spiritual warfare. Satan does not give up territory easily. And when he's got a stronghold like alcoholism or drug abuse in a person's life, he holds on. And so we really do need your prayers, prayer that God would send us the people who are really ready for help. Find them. God's got to send them to us. And then we do need some more staff. Right now, this fall, we do not have a biblical for our program. Meant to him as from the Discipleship Center. So just two ladies from Nashville, Tennessee. Is almost a completely closed pueblo to the gospel. And in January, we had our first from the youth pastor of his church. And then now we have our first man and first lady from the youth reservation this last year. So God outreaches to reservations that have not been very open at all to the Lord. For God and give